Assisi. I love your rolling fields, your flowers and silver streams that flow to the sea.
He was an Umbrian. He was an Italian, and he was born in one of the most beautiful spots in Italy. And it's true, the fields, the poppies, the sunflowers, it being a hill town, a beautiful little hill town, all of this would have influenced him. It's on the side of Mount Subasio, so his love of nature was there.
When you wander around Assisi, in the fields and in the hills, it's very easy to understand how Francis could have been bursting with joy on so many occasions, because you hear the birds, there's a beautiful quality of the light, there are so many wild flowers around.
Yes, I'm at a loss to think of other traditions within the church that emphasize joy to this degree. Francis, in his own writings, speaks of it as a positive spiritual practice that keeps the devil away, that if the heart is filled with joy, there's no room for the spirit of darkness to enter.
Assisi, you'll always be home to me. You're part of my destiny.
There can be few Franciscans in the English-speaking world who are as well qualified to speak about St. Francis of Assisi as the brothers Bill Short and Murray Bodo. Brother Bill Short is one of the three co-editors of a massive volume of Franciscan writings known as the Compendium of Sources. It is the reference book for Franciscans throughout the world. Brother Murray Bodo, who has been leading Franciscan study pilgrimages to Assisi for more than 30 years, wrote a small booklet about Francis entitled The Journey and the Dream, a book that has inspired untold thousands of people across the world since its publication in 1972. I asked Father Murray what he understood as the journey of Francis.
The journey itself was the journey that he took from being a young man who wanted to be a knight and a troubadour, who took this journey from being a boy who was a part of the merchant class, moving in to being a knight, which was not the merchant class at the time, but his father had the money to outfit him and buy his way into being a knight. That journey, which he thought was going to be the journey of his life, because he was so taken with the tales of Charlemagne and his paladins, with Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, all of this sort of thing, this quest, this idea of the romance. From that journey, to be turned around completely by God, leaving that whole military world, the whole world of ambition, to go not up this great mountain, this ascent into being a great and powerful personage in this world, but to move down into the plain below Assisi and live with the lepers and find there the real romance, the real journey. And we know that's true because towards the end of his life, when he wrote his testament, he said, "When I was in sin, it seemed to me a bitter thing to see lepers. And then the Lord himself led me among them, and what before was repugnant to me was turned into sweetness of soul for me." It's that journey, the journey from power to powerlessness, the journey from wanting to ascend to greatness to the journey of descending among the poor and the rejected and the marginal.
You'll always be home. You're part of my destiny, and I'm part of you.
Father Father Bill adds his own insight into the young Francis, a person who was so different from the saint of later days.
Francis's military training was sufficient to allow him to go to war with the commune of Assisi in his youth. It was probably enough for him also to be carrying a sword in case of insult or injury. Well, we have beautiful stories from companions of his who must have grown up with him in Assisi and who gave testimony about his life after his canonization. And he appears there as the leader of a, what we would call a kind of social club in Assisi, presumably others of the merchant class who organized parties. Francis himself was known as quite an organizer of parties. And they're pictured as strutting about the city of Assisi as if in Babylon, which of course is supposed to give the reader the impression this was not a very pious group of young people wandering around.
Francis was quite possibly like any of the young Italians of today. Spontaneous, joyful, expressive, and gregarious. He was probably often seen enjoying himself, and perhaps noisy in his festivities, but completely harmless and doing no evil. Yet Francis found his life turned upside down. He fell in love.
We certainly have evidence that he was interested in a kind of marriage that his friends couldn't understand. And it actually marks the beginning of his conversion. He would go about rather dreamy-eyed, and people would ask him if he was planning to marry, and he would give a very cryptic response that he had found a bride who was more lovely and wealthier than any that they might have known. By that time, he was already considering his marriage to Lady Poverty.
And Lady Poverty was one of the main guiding principles of Francis's whole reason for living.
Yes, we might say that she is the lady that this knight is going to serve. So Francis still has this figure in his imagination of being a knight, but now he's turned the ideal of knighthood upside down, and the lady that he will serve represents the poverty of Christ in the Incarnation. This mystery that captivated Francis made Christmas such an important feast for him, and it was very theologically important to see poverty as one of the aspects of God's love.
You'll always be home to me. You're part of my destiny, and I'm part of you.
So the dream then was to somehow be as close to Jesus Christ as possible. He was in love with Christ his whole life. Because Christ was poor, he wanted to be poor. Because of the Incarnation, everything that is human has been made holy by the Incarnation of Christ, and all of creation has been. And so Francis's dream is to somehow make Christ loved. He who he felt was not loved enough, that this Christ could be made known. The human Christ, the Christ who walked among us, the Christ who was also the Son of God, that this person would be a strong image in people's minds. And of course, Francis himself then becomes the icon of Christ in the Middle Ages, even to the extent of having the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. But he became like Christ for his time, the mirror of Christ, he was called.
As you sleep, I love your rolling fields, your flowers and silver streams that flow to the sea. As you sleep,